This is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch, here once again with my co-hosts, Taylor Phelps and Ryan Billups. We already had a pretty good show this week with ESPN SportsCenter's Linda Cohn. It's pretty awesome. And we also talked whether or not Kobe should be amnestied earlier in this week. But I've got a big announcement for you. This is a special week where we're going to have three shows. We're going to have two podcasts, one with Linda Cohn, one today, and then tonight we're going to have a live show with KETR that you can listen to. We're going to talk some more. It's just going to be an extended show. Billups will not be able to stay for the live show. He's got to go to his bachelor party. But other than that, we're going to have a lot of fun. So just make sure to stay tuned with us. All right, let's get into today's show, though. We've got controversial topics. Last week we saw Tiger get penaltied in the Masters, and we also are going to talk a little bit about four players that are rumored to come out as gay in the NFL this year. And then we're going to finish off today's podcast show with the NBA. We're going to talk the Lakers making the playoffs, predictions for the entire East and West, and we'll also talk best chance of an upset. And then we'll go into the live show later tonight, and we'll talk Rangers and Cowboys. All right, that's about the outline of the show. Let's get into it, guys. First, Tiger and the two-shot penalty. So what happened?
Well, I don't know if everyone knows this, but a lot of times in these golf championships, the rules are controlled by the fans, and they're the fans watching on TV, and they're the ones that notice things, and they call in, and that's how the players will get two-stroke penalties or whatever. In this case, Tiger had a penalty. I believe that it could have been disqualified. Like, he might have been able to be disqualified for it.
Yeah, he should have been disqualified.
Yeah, that wasn't the case. Yeah. So I think since they didn't let him know about it immediately, they decided, let's give him a two-stroke penalty.
Right.
You know, he recognized it. Mm-hmm. He recognized it, said it, and they said it wasn't.
And then the fan called.
And then the fan called in and, you know, reported it, so they gave him a two-stroke penalty. I don't know if there's anything behind it more. Maybe something like, well, we want Tiger to be competitive, so let's not give him a penalty, because you never know what's going on.
And the Masters, I mean, it's just much less compelling.
And everyone knows, we watch golf for Tiger. Mm-hmm. Our generation's the Tiger generation.
Yeah, you could just say like Phil Mickelson before that.
And all the famous golfers, there's always one that defines the generation. And especially now that you have so many guys that come up and are basically nobodies, they'll show up for one tournament, play great.
Yeah.
And that's all they win. Tiger's the only one you see consistently, typically. So, I mean, it's a big deal. It was a big deal in the world of sports, but whether or not, I guess the question is whether or not we should be allowing fans to monitor things like this.
Right.
I have no problem with the fans monitoring or being the unofficial refs, I guess. I don't think they should be making the official calls. Mm. I don't think it should be in their hands as far as what the penalty is, what should happen. Right. I mean, if they see something and the PGA board or whoever doesn't catch it, I have no problem with them being like, hey, this guy just did this. This isn't allowed. Y'all should check this out.
Yeah.
And that was the case with Tiger. They had already seen it happen, though.
Recognized it, too.
Yeah, Tiger
That's
Tiger
the thing.
Knew
you can't really penalize a guy for someone who noticed what he did.
Yeah, see, what happened first is PGA saw it and then said that it shouldn't be a penalty at all. And then Tiger came up to them and said, hey, I did this. It should have been this. I deserve a penalty or a disqualification. And they said, no, we decided that it wasn't a bad thing. And then the fan called in and said he should be disqualified. So they decided to give him the
they
two.
Said, no, let's leave you at the leaderboard. Yeah. So our ratings will continue to go up.
Yeah.
But yeah, when Tiger's playing better, we all know. I mean, look at what that two-stroke would have done. He ended up tied for fourth with a two-stroke penalty. Mm-hmm. 5 under par, and Adam Scott won with 9 under. He would have been at 7 under he would have been at 7 under. Who knows what Tiger would have done with those two extra strokes?
Right. He knew he was out of birdies.
He knew he was out of plenty of birdies towards the end that could have potentially tied him to be able to make it, you know, for the lead. Mm-hmm. And if Tiger's creeping up on you, who knows the pressure that would have been on Angel Cabrera and Adam Scott also.
Right. All right, well, let's just decide, what do you guys think? Should fans be allowed to do this in the golf world or not?
I think it's good for the game because I think it gets fans watching too. They feel like they have a part in it. It wouldn't work in any other sport.
Okay.
You can't do this in basketball. I mean, how many calls would you get in basketball? Oh, it's out on the Clippers, out on the Lakers.
Right.
You couldn't do it in football. I mean, it's just not practical. Okay. But in golf, there's certain rules that it's a good thing. It lets the fans be involved, and it also allows the PGA to better monitor their players.
Yeah, right. I agree with Taylor. I think it's fine for the sport as long as it doesn't get, you know, out of hand or anything like that. And obviously, in football, basketball, sports like that, it wouldn't work. It's too fast-paced. But with golf, it's so spread out, and if the fan sees it on the coverage that they see on their TV, then it's kind of embarrassing for the sport.
And assess these later.
Yeah,
too,
it would, like if you can see it on TV as something obviously wrong or cheating or something like that, it's embarrassing for the sport if it doesn't get caught. So I have no problem with the.
And it allows fans to feel like there's a purity to the game, like they're making sure that everything's monitored correctly.
My favorite thing that came from this, which I don't know if y'all have heard about this, but Thomas Vaughn, Lindsey Vaughn's husband, ex-husband, I apologize,
yes,
who is now Lindsey Vaughn, who is now dating Tiger Woods, tweeted on Twitter and wrote, "No problem, Masters Tournament. Happy to call in and help. You always have to keep an eye on those cheaters, winky face." That is just absolutely hilarious.
Now, obviously, I'm under the impression that this wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think he's the one that called in.
If he had been the one that called, I don't think they would have treated it as
seriously.
Quite
a funny story to see Lindsey Vaughn's ex-husband calling out Tiger in a way and being like, I don't know if it's more of, I don't think he should have done it because it's kind of a shot to him. Like, they got the better of him.
Yeah.
But all the same, it made for a funny story.
Oh, it was super funny. Let's also talk just what happened the last time we had a controversy with people calling into the PGA. The last time this happened, it's in Brian Regan's stand-up. That's why I know it. Someone like in 2005 called in and said that the PGA was playing bird tracks of birds that couldn't possibly be in that area. And that was the big controversy at that time. And Brian Regan does like 6 minutes straight of stand-up about it, a bunch of jokes, really funny. But he talks about the last time that there was a controversy in golf was when someone called in and said, "Hey, you're not using the real birds. I'm a bird expert." Now, how would you like to answer that call?
Oh, my goodness.
"Hey, I know what you're doing there. You're playing the wrong birds. What are you doing, Masters? I'm on to you." And the phone operator just like,
yeah.
You
just imagine. So this one's obviously a little bit more serious of the situation.
Yeah.
Still some humor. I found some humor in that whole situation because, you know, you see a little bitterness mixed with a little bit of, you know, making light of the situation from Thomas Vaughn. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, let's move to the most, I guess, recent news and biggest news in the NBA right now.
NFL.
Oh, you're going to? Yeah, NFL. Four players are rumored to come out as gay. Is it later this week or as homosexuals?
They're thinking it'll be before,
before the draft?
Maybe before the draft, but for sure before the season starts. The regular season.
So this will for sure be a big-time story. Mm-hmm. You can trust that as soon as this breaks, if it in fact does, that ESPN will be playing this like crazy.
Oh, every
the interviews will be crazy.
Yeah.
And not just interviews with those players, but imagine
their team.
The whole team.
The commissioner.
And other sports. Mm-hmm. What would you feel if a player come out as a homosexual in your locker room? There's just a lot of different controversy that's going to go on this, and whether it's deserved or not, we're just going to have to see.
Yeah. Now, the question that we have here is not whether or not gay players should be allowed in the NFL. That's not the question here. That's for another time. That's not our debate.
We can't make the
judgment for that. Our question is which league will be the easiest and which league will be the most challenging to
and
come out
the
as a gay person?
The less scrutinized of all
I would
the
say,
leagues.
I would say sports that aren't team sports. I think sports like golf,
tennis.
Sports like that, I think.
Even track and field, I believe.
Because you don't have to face your teammates in that situation. You only have to face your fans. And I think that's...
You're in the locker room by yourself.
Right. That's a little easier for the player, I think. Sports like football, when you have, you know, 60 other guys in the locker room with you, you know, some are going to be okay with it. Some aren't going to be okay with it. It's just, I mean, football is just one of those sports where it's kind of
That's life. That's people in life. Some are okay with it. Some aren't okay.
And that's exactly what's going to happen in a big locker room is, you know, some are going to be supportive and some are going to be, you know, get out of here. We don't want you here. So
do you think it will be easier for homosexual women to come out or homosexual men?
I think it'll be easier for women, just in general. I think they already, for one thing, they already face so many challenges in sports in general. So just having that one more challenge is, you know, something that
I agree with you. I agree with you on that, Cooper. I think it'll be a little easier for women. And part of that is, I think guys with their masculinity and toughness, you know, sometimes they're just harder on other guys than women are with other women. Women seem to be more supportive in general
too,
and accepting than men are. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know, you know, we don't know who the four players are yet. We don't know what teams they're coming out yet. But, you know, we're going to follow the story as closely as we can. And it'll be interesting to
and
see
I believe we've
how
already
the how the locker room reacts.
I believe we've already had a gay basketball player come out.
Not an active one, though.
Not an active, but, you know, there was a lot of controversy with that and his teammates. You know, should he have told his teammates whether or not he was? And, I mean, that was for them to decide, and that's totally up to the franchise and the organization. But
and up to the person himself if he wants to.
Yeah, if he wants to or not. But you also have to think of the liberty of those players not knowing whether or not they are. I mean, whether or not you know what your teammate is or not, is gay or not, is that fair to keep that from other players? And that's a question for another day, but that's another part of it.
Yeah. Now, we know that the NHL, the hockey league, has recently partnered with, I can't remember the name of it, it's something like Let Us Play or It's Okay to Play or something like that, which is a national organization that is trying to get gay people allowed to play in sports. So maybe the NHL will be the first thing that does, because most of hockey is a Canadian thing, and Canada is much more
accepting.
Yeah, well, maybe not accepting even, maybe just a different mindset than us about
totally
the situation.
Different. And a lot of the hockey teams, the support is up north. There's a lot more hockey teams up north. And, I mean, it'd be interesting to see the differences in Stars fan compared to Montreal fans. So it would be very interesting to observe that.
What team, like, not just what league, but what team out of all the leagues do you think would have the most difficult time for a gay man to come out?
Dallas Cowboys.
Out of all the teams ever?
Out of all the teams, and I'm not caring what franchise. I don't care if it's NBA or NFL. I think the Dallas Cowboys being a southern team.
And not even just that they're southern, but the fact of how
and they have a larger fan base. Yeah,
they're huge.
Their popularity
is
going to cover
more
people. I mean,
Jerry Jones, America's team, Tony Romo. I mean, these are national stories. Everything about the Cowboys is national story.
Yeah.
And so I think it would be bigger with the Cowboys than anyone else.
I mean, think about it's totally different. Like if the Charlotte Bobcats, they're just irrelevant. Yeah. So if someone came out there, it would be a huge story.
It would
story.
Be a big
let's,
story.
Let's not say it's not a big story, but it's not going to be the grandeur of a Dallas Cowboys or a Miami Heat or a New York Yankee. It's just totally different. It's the market you play in.
Right. Well, what about the easiest team or league to come out in? What do you think that would be? Besides an individual sport, like what team do you think would be the easiest to come out
in? I think kind of like along what Taylor was saying, I think some of your smaller markets, probably a team up north, a smaller market team.
Like
that,
Buffalo.
Yeah, a team that doesn't get a lot of press anyways, that'd probably be your easiest place.
A small media market, stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah, do y'all think these four players are all on the same team, or do you think they're spread out?
I think
they're supposed to come out at the same time.
Yeah, I think
they've had contact with each other,
but I do not
believe they're on the same team.
So you think we have four separate teams?
Maybe not four separate teams.
Maybe two on one team. Like one and two or something like that.
I don't
think
they'll all be together, but I don't think they'll all be separate either, because I think that would be too difficult for one person to come out, especially if it happens to be on the Cowboys. If you're one guy by yourself and like the other three are all on one team, how would you feel about that? Like they're getting to face it together. And you're by yourself, like you're Jackie Robinson, pretty much.
Not to make
the same comparison,
but you are in a way, you are the Jackie Robinson of this type of
prejudice.
This type of prejudice, you're the Jackie Robinson. It's just that it's pretty much the same, and I think it will be the same scrutiny once it happens. But I don't think it may not last as long. There may be more understanding, but you know what I'm talking about. It's the same. it's the same kind of thing.
So we kind of talked about what team would be the hardest as far as like publicly, but what about like just in the stadium with the fans? What team is going to react the most negatively?
That's a good question. I really don't know.
What fans are going to react?
Like what fan base is going to be the hardest?
I think we go back to the Cowboys again.
I think the Cowboys fans are just kind of...
Cowboys or Texans, either one.
Well, Cowboys fans, and I'm a Cowboy fan, mm-hmm. will harp on anything. So they want something to point a finger
at.
Yeah,
anything that could be an excuse for why we're not winning now.
Yes, in anything. It could be the water boy is,
right.
you know... an alien. It could be anything that they can point out.
Yeah,
they're going to blame, and that's a problem with the organization and the franchise too. Is the management's the same way?
Yeah,
it's a point finger type management and fan base, and until we point the fingers at ourselves, from a management position, and figure out what we're going to do to make our team better, mm-hmm. then we're still going to struggle.
It's sad that in almost everything else, the Jets are the team that would be hardest to come out and do something. Like, say you're a Christian and you're going to stand for all this and not party and blah, blah, blah. Or to do something for, like, a charity.
I saw that with Tebow.
Yeah, you'd get the most scrutiny there. But for coming out just saying that you love someone for a certain way, you'd get the most scrutiny here in Dallas.
Like, I think
that's sad that... For everything else, the Jets are the team that people don't want to be on. But for that one situation, it's the Cowboys.
It's the Cowboys, and I would totally agree with that. And the fan base of the Cowboys is so extensive. It goes beyond just
all
over
the country. And I'm not so sure the Jets wouldn't be a hard one either.
Oh, yeah, because it's in New York. I mean, it's always going to be hard there. But I think,
like we say, the markets. It's your market.
Even then, it's still going to be more difficult in Dallas.
Right.
For that situation, at least. All right, that's about going to do it for us in this first segment. We're going to go to commercial break, and then we will be back with the NBA and a lot of other stuff. Stay tuned. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Know someone who has a car they no longer need? Maybe a student who's graduating college, an elderly relative who no longer drives, or a neighbor with a car that won't run? Do them and your station a favor by telling them about the KETR car donation program. We'll come pick it up and give them a tax receipt, and you'll both be helping your station continue to provide quality programming for the community. It's easy to do. Just remember the phone number, 855-KETR-123, and share it with others.
Hi, it's Diane Rehm. Delighted that the Diane Rehm Show is now heard across Northeast Texas on KETR. Join me here weekday mornings at 9 for perspectives on issues affecting your world. Have a question you want answered? Join the conversation by phone, email, Facebook, or Twitter. The Diane Rehm Show, weekday mornings at 9 on 88.9 KETR.
This is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Taylor Phelps, one of your hosts, and I have Ryan Billups here and Cooper Welch, the co-host. Next, we're going to talk NBA and what has recently happened with the Lakers jumping to the 7th seed, all the way from outside the playoffs, all the way to 7th seed, as Utah has just recently lost.
Crapped on themselves.
Yes, to Memphis. I think their worst game of the season, if you look at points
production. They scored 70 points.
How terrible is that? An NBA game, and a lot of the commentators didn't think they were even going to reach 70.
Man.
Memphis is a good defensive team, but that's inexcusable for a team with the playoffs on the line. Yes, to have the playoffs on the line, be looking to where the Lakers could have easily lost to Houston because Houston had something to play for, as Houston now drops to the 8th seed and will have to play James Harden's old team, the Thunder. I believe it makes for a more interesting playoff setup in the first round in the West, but also I'm pretty sure now you're just going to see a blowout.
Right, and I'm not sure if y'all watched that Lakers versus Houston game. Very, very good game.
Oh, overtime.
Chandler Parsons
nails a three with 1 second left, nails it, goes into overtime.
From 5 feet behind the
three-point
line. Yeah,
Lakers end up winning the game still. Because the Lakers won that game, they move up to the 7th seed. Houston drops to the 8th seed. Houston's going to be playing Oklahoma City, Lakers versus San Antonio. Guys, what's going to happen in this, you know, Spurs, Lakers series and Oklahoma City, Houston series?
I actually agree with some of the commentators that talk about the Lakers' chances against the Spurs. I know Cooper doesn't want to hear this, but Powell is playing great basketball
He's playing now. Awesome.
Oh, undeniable.
Their high-low is what they should have been doing all year. And it was harder with Kobe because Kobe is such a dynamic player that he can control so many different things that it's hard not
to
give him the ball.
But Powell is such a good distributor.
But when Powell has
the ball, give him the ball.
And Dwight is down low, it's so difficult to defend. I remember one time in the game the other night, Powell takes a dribble to the right, and they're just next to each other, but they're so big that Powell can just ward off whoever he wants to, and when they help, he just hand it off to Dwight, and it's unstoppable. Now, Tim Duncan is obviously a better defender than Omar Sheik, but still, and the Spurs are a better team defense than the Rockets. The Rockets try to outscore you, but still, it's Powell and Dwight are, without a doubt, the best 1-2 punch in the post in the league that we've seen for a while.
It's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be a really good series. I do think the Spurs are going to win in the series of seven, but I think it'll be closer than we think. I think maybe Spurs win in six.
Well, now that's another thing. This, remember, last year they changed it to being best of five in the first round.
It's going back to best of five?
Yeah, unless they changed it again this year, because last year it was best of five.
We'll have to Google that real quick, and then we'll get back to you on that. But anyways, I think the Lakers really do have a legitimate shot. Obviously, it hurts that Kobe's not playing. That really hurts their, you know, Kobe is,
I mean,
the
their
best
chances were obviously
grader.
Increased with Kobe Bryant.
I would have picked the Lakers to win the series with Kobe Bryant. Without him, I'm giving it to the Spurs in six. But I mean, it's still going to be a great series. What about the Oklahoma City Houston?
Oklahoma City, Houston, I think that Houston pulls off a couple games just because they can score.
Right.
I mean, you can outscore anybody. You saw that with the Phoenix Suns when they used to have Nash and the now Dallas player Sean Marion and Amari. They would just outscore you, but they could not win a championship because they couldn't play defense. And Houston can play decent defense, but that's not what they rely on. It's not what they're great at. Harden's going to go off. I mean, I feel like Harden had a bad game against the Lakers the other night. But in the playoffs, he's playing his old team. You know, the energies and adrenaline's going to be running through him. He's going to have a great game. So I see him going maybe 4-2, something like that.
Right. I see Oklahoma City winning in five. I do think Houston will pull off a game, but Oklahoma City, man.
You don't think they'll be able to get one on the road?
No, I don't. I think Oklahoma City is just too powerful of a team, especially come playoff time. You saw Oklahoma City blow through every team they played last year until they got to the Heat. Heat tripped them up, obviously, and they sweeped them in four games. But every single, I mean,
that was also
an
Oklahoma
game,
City team with James Harden playing very well.
True. Yeah.
Can Kevin Martin be the same type of person or type of player as James Harden was last year through the playoffs until, of course, they reach the Miami Heat and he gets shut down?
So if y'all had to pick one upset game.
Series upset?
The first round of the playoffs, outside of like the 5 and 4 seed teams,
right?
Because I don't really consider those upsets. Who do you see as the biggest upset?
I think there's two teams that have a very good chance of upsetting their higher seeded team. I see Golden State actually beating Denver because Denver is so depleted by injuries.
Gallinari's injured, Ty Lawson's been injured, right. And Golden State is hot.
Yeah, and here's another one. Boston beating New York. Now, that may just be because I see the passion that's happened recently with all that's gone on in Boston. But I seriously think they stand a chance of beating the Knicks. I know the Knicks have been hot, and they have Carmelo scoring outrageously. But, I mean,
Celtics still have Doc Rivers. They still
Celtics
have KG,
still,
and they still have Paul Pierce. So
yeah,
you cannot count them out.
Outside of the Golden State Denver series, I see Boston over New York.
Okay.
And I see the Lakers over Spurs as a potential upset.
A potential.
I don't think it's going to happen, but that is a realistic upset.
Right.
Taylor?
I mean, I'm the same as Cooper. I just agreed with him on the Boston New York, and I agree with both of you also on the Golden State Denver, as we've talked about. But Atlanta over Indiana could happen. Atlanta has some good players, so I could see that happening. But also, Indiana's just so good defensively, and they're so good as a team.
Okay, so who is your most boring playoff matchup?
Milwaukee and Miami.
See, I think you just said it. I think Atlanta, Indiana.
Oh yeah, totally a boring. I think it's a boring playoff series. I think it could get interesting if it does go to seven. Yeah. People will watch.
Yeah, I agree with Cooper. I think Indiana Atlanta is just incredibly. Yeah.
And you can tell that by how often do we see Indiana Atlanta on TV?
Well, yeah, but at least Miami and Milwaukee has LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh.
Right.
I mean, at least they have some star power.
But it's going to be like a scrimmage.
Well, you never
know. It's going to be blowouts, but at least you get to watch some exciting basketball.
Milwaukee did take one in the regular season with all three stars playing, so you never know.
It's just the NBA regular season, and those matchups are just so, you can't count on them.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing about Atlanta. TNT owns the rights to NBA.com. TNT is headquartered in Atlanta. And yet Atlanta is barely on TV. That shows you how much star power they have, quote unquote.
Right. Okay, so what's your guys' favorite matchup?
Of the first round, I'd probably say Golden State Denver. Because okay. I just think the energy, the fast paced type game, the Kenneth Faried, the Stephen Curry, it's just gonna be such a high energy young player type game.
I'm gonna give y'all three, and I'm gonna do it in order.
Okay.
New York versus Boston.
Is this your three or your one?
That's my number one favorite.
No, okay. Definitely.
Number two, OKC versus Houston. Mm-hmm. Very excited to watch that. Just really high powered offenses playing each other, and Lakers versus Spurs. Not as excited to watch that as I am intrigued to see how it's gonna go.
Happens, the people you're naming. The excitement comes from the star power in those games, too.
Absolutely.
You're looking at KG, Carmelo, not Kobe, but you're looking at Powell and Dwight.
Right.
And
how
Tim
funny
Duncan.
Is it that these teams that are our favorite matchups are like 1 versus 8 seeds? And you normally your 1 versus 8 seed is an incredibly boring game, but this year we have,
you're Mavericks.
We have 1 versus 8 and 2 versus 7s that are really good games.
2007 or whatever year it was.
Yeah, and the Spurs Grizzlies just few years ago.
Yeah.
Right. Now, here's my favorites. I think the Clippers-Memphis series will be the best series to watch because it was one of the best last year. I mean, the Clippers and Memphis match up so, you could say either well or badly against each other because it's so even. Like, they're both really good teams. And I think whoever comes out of that series will be exhausted and not...
Because they match up so well, too. Blake Griffin and Zach Randolph and DeAndre Jordan and Marc Gasol and Mike Conley and Chris Paul. Obviously, there's better players at those positions, but they match up together well.
Right, yeah. And then I think my second favorite series is also going to have to be in the West. I'm going to have to go with Oklahoma City and Houston. Not that I think Houston stands a chance, but I think it'll be outrageously fun to see James Harden going against...
It's more like what... Is KD, Westbrook, and James going to do?
Yeah.
And that's what's going to be interesting
about
that.
It's going to be hilarious.
But like you mentioned, I think the best basketball will be the Memphis and Clippers and also the Denver and Golden State.
Well, speaking of Memphis and Clippers, who wins that series?
I think the Clippers. I think just Chris Paul.
Right.
Such a dynamic, best point guard in the league, especially now that Rondo's injured.
I think if they hadn't made the trade that they did and getting rid of Rudy Gay, Clippers would have won, but I think in this instance, I think Memphis has a chance.
You think that their trade
helped them more than anything else?
Helped them gain an advantage.
I think Memphis wins in seven. I think it could definitely go either way.
Oh, seven.
I think regardless, it goes to six or seven.
I don't think you can make a bad choice on that.
But I'm gonna go with Memphis in seven.
All right, well, we've got just a few minutes left, so let's go ahead and breeze through the rest of them. Denver versus Golden State, real quick.
Golden State.
I'll say Golden State.
How many games?
Six.
I'm going to go Golden State in seven. San Antonio versus Los Angeles.
San Antonio in six.
Okay.
San Antonio in six.
I'm going to go San Antonio in five. I think five is good. Oklahoma City versus Houston.
Oklahoma City in five.
Okay.
Oklahoma City in six.
Oak City in seven. I think Houston could win a few. How about Brooklyn and Chicago?
Man, that one's I've been rattling
Chicago.
Over for a while now.
Chicago in five.
Chicago in five. Wow, that's drastic.
And that is that with or without D Rose coming back?
That's without.
Yeah.
Assuming he doesn't come. Man, I have Chicago winning that one, but I think it's really close. I'm going to say Chicago in seven games.
I'm going to say Chicago in six. I think that's
if D-Rose fair. Comes back and plays anywhere near how he did last year, Chicago Sweet. Easily wins that
I
series.
I don't see D-Rose. I give no hope for D-Rose.
He's not
but he
back.
Might come back second, third, you know.
I think if they play the Heat and they win one or two games of the first two, they bring Derrick Rose back.
If they're like in the Eastern Conference Finals and they think, oh, we might have a chance to win the championship, I could see that happening. But until then, he's not going to risk anything for a first-round series.
All right, how about Indiana versus Atlanta?
Indiana in five.
Okay.
Indiana in six.
Atlanta I pick.
Still some.
I have to go with the Pacers too, mostly because I think they have the best chance against the Heat. I'm going to say Indiana in six. And then we've got New York and Boston.
Man, this is a tough one. I think this could be an upset, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm not going to pick it as an upset, though. I'm going to say New York in seven.
Okay.
I think if you pick New York, it's a. New York has been so flaky lately. I think they're almost the playing as the seventh seed. Mm. But I think New York, the way Melo's scoring right now, the way J.R. Smith is scoring, Tyson, people are sleeping on Tyson Chandler and the way that he has come up so big. Tyson Chandler is the only way any team, I think, can beat the Heat. Unless you have someone huge like him to clog the lane and stop penetration and be able to stop inside paint scoring, you cannot beat the Heat.
Right. All right. And then I'm going to say, let me see. I got New York in six. I think Boston takes it to six, but I don't think they win that last one. And then we got the probably one of the most easily picked series, Miami versus Milwaukee.
Miami in four.
Okay.
I'm going to say Miami in four as well.
I'm going to give the Bucks one game. I'm going to say Miami in five.
He'll be the Bucks' favorite favorite sports personality.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're actually a little bit over time, so we're going to have to go and cut it short. But make sure to tune in later tonight when we've got our live show. Me and Taylor will be broadcasting live here on 88.9 KETR, talking Cowboys and Rangers. And then, of course, listen in later tonight here on KETR for the Lions spring football game, the blue versus gold game. It'll be covered here on 88.9 KETR by Charlie Chitwood and on Lion Athletics by me, Taylor, and maybe Craig from the RTV department. But I'm not sure if he's going to be there. Anyway, this is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper.
I'm Taylor Phelps.
Ryan Billups.
This is KETR's Locker Room.